Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you. It's good that Randall can take a breather, can get away from you. See, I can say that. He can't say that. So I'm saying it not for him, but in his behalf. And if he says he has no such feelings, well, you just deal with that. I preached this message here in 2004. I don't remember exactly what month or what day it was, but I did. But you've changed and I've changed, but the Word of God has not changed. And so we will entertain this parable of the sower. I'll be using Peterson's paraphrase entitled The Message. At about that same time, Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. In no time at all, a crowd gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation telling stories or parables. "What do you make of this?" he asked. "A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road and birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams." Are you listening to this? Are you really listening to this? Father, in these moments, as you spoke to the crowds of old, through your Son, as you spoke to Matthew and to the ones who spoke to him who remembered this parable, speak to us today. We are your children. Bless us with your voice. In the name of Christ. Amen. There are a lot of radical truths in this particular parable. And if I were Baptist, there would be at least four or five of them there that we'd touch on. Aren't you glad I'm Methodist? We do only three. If I were Pentecostal, we'd be do seven or eight. Aren't you glad I'm Methodist? And we're going to look at only three. And we'll look at them rather quickly. Things I see in the text that speak to us. For you see, when Jesus told stories or parables, he didn't use them to admonish the people as to how they should live. He didn't tell them they should be better soil, or that they shouldn't be a rock pile or a kudzu patch. We Southerners know all about kudzu patches, don't we? He simply was revealing the heart and mind of God. That's what he wanted to let them know, and that's all I want to let you know today. Some of what I see in the text that tells us a little bit more about who the father of Jesus was, and who, by the way, is the father of us all. There's a marvelous truth in this text, and it is that God loves us as he loves himself. No more, no less. God doesn't deal in parts. He deals in the wholeness of it all. In John's Gospel, Jesus reminds us, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Love one another. So as the Father loved the Son, which is as He loved Himself, because they're part and parcel of each other, He loves us in the same manner. Now, in the parable, it's demonstrated in the fact that the farmer took seed and he sowed it. He broadcast it. He knew some was going to fall in the kudzu. He knew some would fall on the roadside. He knew some would go in a briar patch or in a rock pile, and some would go on soil that would produce. There was seemingly an extravagant wastefulness in the farmer. And after all, he didn't have a feed and seed store to go back to get more seed when that ran out. He handled the seed because he wanted his people to be his plants. We've been handled by the Father. Marvelous, isn't it? I wonder, Max, if I could awaken each morning with that thought in my mind, I wonder if it'd change how I treat you. You would hope so, wouldn't you? You see, if in our heart and mind and soul there is an awesomeness about how God loves us, we are not free to hate. We are not free to ignore. We're free to love each other as He has loved us and as He loves Himself. All right, you rock pile, you kudzu patch, you good soil, you weak soil, you strong soil. You see, it really doesn't matter. What Jesus was saying is He's trying to tell us what the Father's nature was. It really had nothing to do with the seed or the soil. That was just a part of the story, a part of the parable. It's a part of life. We're included in it, you see. But the message is about the Father. Think about the person you don't like or love. That's right. They're included too. Every last one of them is included. Like it or not. That's the Father's nature. As much as He loved Jesus, He loves us. He loves me. He loves you. He loves the world. Right or wrong, He loves. Marvelous, isn't it? And then there's a mysterious truth. You see, I'm trying to help you out here. Keeping them all starts with an M so that you can remember it. Write this down now. Maybe, you know. There's a mysterious truth in the text. And it's implied rather than more than it is explicit. It's a mystery that God in His perfection would use imperfect sinners to get His message out. Who's He going to use? Certainly not the Pharisees. He's going to use the publicans and the sinners. And you know, that's us and this folk. That's who we are. It seems mysterious to me that a perfect God would not yet first perfect us, then use us. Cecilia, wouldn't you like for Him to perfect that man right there first? But that's not the way God works. If he were in the business of perfecting us first, he would have to continue to perfect. He'd have to perfect him every day. Lord mercy. Oh, wait a minute. He's already done that. He's done it in Jesus. We're all perfect in Him.
Amen.
Imperfect within ourselves, but perfect in Christ Jesus. And after all, the sowing of seed, which later on in the chapter is explained as the word about the kingdom, the matter of sowing the seed is not about us, it's about the seed. So we can do it imperfectly if we want to. Well, that's how we're going to do it, because that's the only way we can do it. Any perfect persons here? No, not if you think you are, but any perfect persons here? You see? Who's God going to use to get the word out? Sorry, miserable sinners. I know you're thinking about somebody else, but think about yourself. This is how God works, you see. A perfect God using imperfect hands, throwing seed wherever He wants us to throw them, knowing that not all are going to produce a crop. But you throw them anyway. He uses us anyway. This gives me hope. This gives me purpose, you see, that I'm still of service to Him even though I sin. And no, I ain't going to tell you what I do either. That's wrong. You can figure that out for yourself. But He still uses sinners to do His bidding. And then finally, and that's the word you love to hear from a preacher, isn't it? And finally, there's a mobilizing truth in the text. And it's that God heals in His touch. God heals each of us through each of us. It's not our touching that heals. It's the Master's touch through us that brings healing. And here we thought it was because we were Christians. Think again. It's the Father's touch that heals. One illustration, and I want you to—you have to bear with me. And I got two crowds here now, so I got—I'm not sure which way to look. Oh, prayer. You got it, all right? Now, here's God. Do you see Him? This is yes. This is no. Do you see? Humor this old man. Do you see Him? You better if you want to get out of here. Yeah. Here's God. Okay. Here's believer A, believer B. Believer B falls into some need. So believer B asks believer A, pray for me. And believer A, in faithfulness to the relationship with God, prays for believer B. Now, do you think that's the way it really happens? Well, in part, that's right. But that's not the whole truth. You see, it was God who moved believer B to ask believer A to pray for him. It was God who healed believer B and believer A, you see, in the touching. The touching is not necessarily physical. But the older I get, the more I like someone to pat my back and shake my hand and give me a hug, you know. But there are more ways to touch than physically. But God is in all of the touching. He is moving all of the touching. He moves us. He mobilizes us to get up, get out, and go touch someone's life. So he, a farmer, can plant some seed. So he can touch them and in that touch heal them. But he needs us to do the touching. It, even those we don't like or those we don't love. He's the healer. And He just simply uses our life to touch another life in His name. Rick Warren wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. After I read the first four words, which is the first paragraph in the book, I realized I didn't need to read the rest of the book, and I hadn't read it yet. Because he said it all in the first four words, the first paragraph. Can anybody quote that? It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. He wants to heal His children, not necessarily physically in all times, but He wants to bring healing to His distraught children. He wants them to know that they are never left nor forsaken. And sometimes He needs us to remind them, not with this thing, because that gets us into trouble sometimes. He wants us to be there because they can see us, but they can't see Him. Giving us reason to get up each day and touch as many people's lives as we can. Oh, so that He can touch them. So that He can heal them. And we all can bask in His glory. Well, that's all I got.
May the Lord go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you to lift you from your sorrows, within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you to show you the way. Amen.